through it.
Hello.
Hello, bonjour.
Hello, and Carolyn's in the other room, but she will be here in just a moment.
She's changing into her PJs. Everyone's in their PJs except my mom is in jeans.
Well, I have my pajama top on, but my jeans are on bottom. But yeah, we're having a pajama party here.
We have, hey, my friend Wayne is in the house. That pleases me big time. Thank you so much for being. Thanks everybody to be here as well. Let's not be too special.
Carolyn's here. She looks cute in her pajamas,
in
doesn't
PJ
she?
In the PJ too. All right. It's a PJ party right here in North Carolina.
Yeah, and Eliel, he's the only guy here. All the rest of the PJ party are girls. So.
True.
No, we're not. I'm sorry though. James already in her PJs.
Yeah, and Jamie too.
Jamie too. She lives in her PJs and she's a dog. All right. What I'm going to do is give you guys a link. This is a link to September 2005 at reginadonacres.com. And that's where we're going to begin looking tonight. Again, this is Holy Spirit Guides. And gosh, I don't know when we started this, maybe even a year ago. I really have no idea. But it's where we're looking at all of the messages that I receive from Holy Spirit as kind of personal coaching in chronological order. So we're up to September 2005, which means we'll be doing this for a while longer. what I would like to do is I would like to start by opening with a prayer, unless you want to, Laurent.
No, go ahead. You got it.
No, me? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? You guys want to hear something funny before I start? I used to be terrified to pray in front of other people. You'd never know it now. You know, all these fears can just die. I used to be terrified. If somebody had said to me, you know, Regina, do a prayer out loud, I would have just, like, I don't know, ran and not looked back.
Yeah,
so I gotta go to the bathroom. Jasmine says, "Yeah, it's something." Would have found a way. Would have found a way to get out of that real quick. but now, obviously, I'm very comfortable with it, and in fact, I even very much enjoy it. What I find when I bow my head to say the prayer is that I don't even know what the prayer is going to be, and even the prayer itself is guided, and then I have fun watching to see how the teaching unfolded in partnership with the prayer.
Really?
So
it's an instant of really an instant of gratitude, and it's a great example that you know, me too, I can sometimes I get a little scared, but now when I teach I do it, you know, I jump. and it's true, it's not but it comes, you know, little by little, you know, the fear disappear, and that's wonderful.
All right, so why don't we go ahead and say our prayer then. Holy Spirit, I want to start by thanking you right now for my mighty companions. Just a little bit ago, as I was taking a shower, thoughts of my mighty companions were running through my mind. Now I sit here surrounded in body by several mighty companions. I look on the screen, I see the names of several mighty companions, and it seems to me that I am very, very rich. And I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that and to say thank you for this wealth. And of course, Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you for your guidance. It's another part of my wealth, another part of my richness, that guidance that comes every day, that comes every moment that I'm open to it, the guidance that is now bringing single quiet thoughts for the day, the guidance that sees thoughts in my mind and whispers, let it go. The guidance that leads me to speak and guides the words that I say. Just so rich with guidance. I'd also like to just take this moment to acknowledge our purpose for being here. And that purpose, of course, is awakening to our true self, putting illusions behind us and knowing who we truly are beyond all doubt. And I would ask, Holy Spirit, that you help us tonight to take steps in the direction that we are intending to go, full awakening, by helping us to see whatever is most helpful for us to see and realize whatever is most helpful for us to realize. And I thank you in advance for the gift that I know is given. Amen.
Amen.
Mm. All right, so what I will do again is just give the link. Whoops. Give the link one more time, because I think maybe, you know, at least one more person has entered the room. It looks like Lori may have popped in. And what I'm going to do is just begin by reading a message. Now, the message that we're going to be reading is from Monday, September 19th, and it's called Understanding Divine Law. And what you can do when you go to the link that I have given you is you can just scroll down on the page until you find that it's only about three messages down, so it won't take you long to find it. It's Understanding Divine Law, Monday, September 19th. And what happened on this particular day is that I was reading. Actually, I wasn't reading. It was one of those days when I asked Holy Spirit what it wanted me to do, and it was a little odd in that I was typically guided to pick up maybe A Course in Miracles at that time and open it randomly. But this day it was a little different in that I was guided to pick up Peace Pilgrim's book and open it randomly. And to my knowledge, this is the only time that I've really received that specific guidance. So I did that, and then what I read confused me. So it led me to ask a question. And this is the question that I asked. Peace Pilgrim said, "There is nothing that happens by chance in our universe. Everything unfolds according to higher laws. Everything is regulated by divine order." Now, let me just talk for a moment about why that confused me, because right now such a statement would not. It has to do with an understanding that I was developing in my mind as I was reading A Course in Miracles. And the understanding is an error thought, but because I thought the error thought was a correct thought, I became confused. But the understanding that I had was I saw the ego as something that is separate from God. And what I thought was that the ego created the world somehow outside of God and separate from God. And therefore the world was this bad mistake that kept us separate from God. And so when I read Peace Pilgrim saying that everything in the world unfolds and is regulated by divine order, I became very confused, because what I heard in my mind with my errors at the time was that she was saying that God was in charge of what happens in the world, and my understanding was that God was not, the ego was, and I was very confused. So, again, I asked Holy Spirit, "What would you like to share regarding this thought?" And this is the answer that I was given. The world and everything in it is illusion. But even the laws that govern illusion are divine laws. For the divine laws are the only laws that truly exist.
This is great with the idea of with all the, it makes very clear all the secrets and all the manifestation theory and stuff. Of course you're dealing with divine laws because it's all there is.
It's all there is. Yeah.
Now depending on the creation, what you want to manifest and all that kind of stuff, this is another story, but we're only dealing with divine laws.
Yeah, and you know, at this time, be honest, some of you may know me well enough to know that I was not spiritually educated at all. I hadn't even heard the word manifest at this time in my life.
Okay,
so we're really talking a pretty ignorant soul here. All I had was A Course in Miracles, and I had confusion around what I was reading in A Course in Miracles.
Maybe precipitate? No, not even?
Precipitate?
No, I guess not. I'm kidding.
Okay, so let's go on to the second paragraph. Divine laws are laws of thought and extension, or in the case of the world, thought and projection. In both cases, that of creation or illusion, the thought is the cause of the result of creation or illusion. Now again, I think it's pretty good that we just got into the fact that I was pretty ignorant, that I hadn't even heard the word manifest, because really what Holy Spirit is doing now is educating me on those exact laws. And these are laws that I was not at all aware of until this message came. So you can see how this message for me was a very important message. And he is using the language of A Course in Miracles because that was my spiritual language at the time, which is why he's being careful to separate between creation and illusion, between extension and projection. He's just being consistent with A Course in Miracles, which I was reading. He continues, "This concept is key because this concept tells you what you are. You are not a body within the world, because a body within the world is a projection of thought. You are a thought or an idea created first within the mind of God as an extension of God. In this way, you are pure moving love. You are eternal."
Great.
I thought that was a wonderful definition. You are pure moving love. Now, of course, we can't define anything really about what we are or anything about what God is because it is beyond definition. But what Holy Spirit does when he's talking to us, especially at this point for me, this, you know, ignorant person who's trying to follow my true desire, he's really trying to help me undo all of these wrong thoughts in my mind. And of course, he has to undo the thought that I'm a body. And at this point, I really needed that replaced with something else. You couldn't just tell me I'm not a body. You had to tell me what I was. And to describe me as pure, moving love is really a definition of complete abstraction. So it's taking away something specific, like a body, and it's giving me something abstract, something that I could not reach out and touch, something as abstract as the wind, pure moving love. And he's telling me that's what I am. But also in the word moving, for me, there's life in that word. If I'm moving love, then it means that I am life. I thought it was a very good definition. So again, he says, in this way, you are pure, moving love. And then, of course, you are eternal. And within this thought or idea, so within the idea that I am, and in this case, that idea is defined as pure, moving love and eternal. Within this thought or idea, there was another thought that was not blessed by God because it was an impossible thought. Now, when he says it is not blessed by God, he does not mean that the thought was a sin. He simply means that God, which now I understand is the process of creation, at that time I didn't, but that God could not make this thought reality because it was impossible. It's just something that could not be done. And of course, he's talking about the tiny mad idea. So he says, within this thought or idea, there was another thought that was not blessed by God because it is an impossible thought. It was the thought that the idea of God could become separate and independent of the mind that thought it. This idea is impossible. But, following divine law, a thought or idea that is given the power of belief seems to come into reality, even if the idea is an impossible idea that cannot be truth. This seeming extension and birth of an impossible thought is called projection, because although it has the properties of extension and creation, it is not the same, since it is a thought that cannot be true. Now, what was important for me about this at this time, again, with really complete ignorance, at this time, was I had somehow thought of projection and extension as being different. Although I didn't know what either of them was, I thought that they were very, very different. And really what Holy Spirit is beginning to explain to them here is that actually they're more alike than different. And this was very important for me to understand if I was ever going to understand what forgiveness was and why we practice forgiveness. really what he's beginning to teach me is that extension is the extension of that which is through mind. Projection is the seeming extension of that which isn't through mind. So the only real difference is that one is reality and the other is experience. But the way they are extended, the divine laws that cause the reality or cause the experience, are exactly the same. The divine laws are not different. And this for me, again, at that time was eye-opening. I didn't know this at all, so it was very important for me to learn. So he says again that this seeming extension and birth of an impossible thought is called projection, because although it has the properties of extension and creation, it is not the same, since it is a thought that cannot be true. Still, it can be experienced. So the aspect of thought, that thought its own idea, experiences its idea until it gives up the idea as false and returns to the thoughts of reality. And again, what was important for me at that time was this was beginning to explain to my mind really why we practice forgiveness, and even a deeper understanding of what forgiveness is. Because until then, I would say that I saw forgiveness. I had a fairly good understanding of what forgiveness was, but I saw forgiveness as leading to my inner peace and not necessarily having any other effects. And sometimes I got kind of mad at A Course in Miracles, because I didn't really see A Course in Miracles as spiritual. I really saw it as just psychology. I saw it as helping me to get to inner peace. I could see how, letting go of ideas of fear, letting go of ideas of unworthiness, letting go of ideas of guilt were going to make me happier. But I did not see them as having any other effect, because I truly did not know until this day that thought was creative. This was new to me. Remember, I was spiritually ignorant. And so what Holy Spirit is explaining to me now for the first time is that my thoughts, when I let go of a thought, I'm not just attaining inner peace, that I'm doing much more than that, that really the effects of my thought influence the experience of the entire mind, but at our level we would call it everyone. And that I am doing much, much more when I choose to let go of a thought than just attaining inner peace for a little self. I am actually affecting an overall experience for, it seems like, an entire world, which is where we're at. I didn't know this until this day. So as you can imagine, this was a pretty big message for me. Okay, so I'm continuing in. He says, the helpfulness in understanding divine law is that you understand where the world you experience comes from. And this is true. This is the first day I was getting it, that our thoughts create the world. I did not know that until this day. The helpfulness in understanding divine law is that you understand where the world you experience comes from. It comes from an impossible thought, and therefore it is illusion. And you can also recognize that you are not illusion, and so you must be far more than you seem to be as you sit in your chair within the world. You must be something real, something beyond illusion, because you have the experience of experience. So what he's also teaching me is that because I am an awareness that can be aware of experience, I am something that is real, although the experience I'm experiencing is not. So he's helping me to separate the difference between what I am and what illusion is. He continues, this is the truth. The fact that you seem to experience and feel is evidence that you are real. But it does not mean that your current experience is your reality. So again, he's teaching me the fact that I exist, the fact that I am aware, the fact that I experience, means that what I am is real. But now he's also telling me, but that doesn't mean that Regina is real. This doesn't mean that I am Regina. So you can tell he's actually teaching me quite a bit in this one message. Again, this is all stuff that we take for granted now, but you know, keep in mind, this is the first time for me, this particular message, and you'll see what a big message this was. So now I'm learning that I do exist, but I am not Regina. I am this pure, moving love that is creating the world through thought. This is what I'm learning on this day. It's pretty big stuff. He continues, I ask you to open to that thought, that you are more than you thought yourself to be, that you are a thought of true creation, which is the extension of the mind of God. That is all you can ever be, because that is all that truly exists. Then you may begin to grasp that your current experience is like a dream and has no effects on your reality. And of course, this paragraph right here really sums up the purpose of A Course in Miracles, to teach us that nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So this again is the first time where he's telling me this, that because I am something real, that nothing temporary, nothing that is only experience, can really affect me at all. In that way, I am eternally safe. Then he continues, I encourage you to enjoy your dream. Okay. Again, another really important sentence, because remember what led me to ask the question in the first place was this misperception that God was something and ego was something and they were separate, and ego, this bad something, is what made the world, and therefore the world was bad. And this was back in the time when I was feeling guilty for things like, you know, sunrises and mountains and thinking mountains were beautiful and all of that. So notice he's starting to correct that here as well. He says, I encourage you to enjoy your dream. Play with your thoughts without taking them seriously. As you play and remain open to me, I will lead you to the truth of all thought, that you may rejoin the thought of creation, which is the purpose for which you were created. All truth is the extension of God. Nothing else exists within reality. So that was the end of the first message that began to teach me a whole lot of stuff, actually. Really began to teach me to understand A Course in Miracles. Up until then, although there were certainly things I got out of it, I had a lot of misunderstandings, and this began to be a major correction for me.
Were you scribing NTI at the time?
I had just started scribing NTI. I was probably in Mark, since it's September.
Okay.
So I was very new to NTI. So a lot of the books that really explained this to me in a much deeper way were yet to come. They were in my future.
And you were already having like some understanding of that for the times to come, for what you were about to scribe, like in the Luke and all the others.
Yeah, well, in fact, a lot of what I scribed in NTI, I did not understand it as I scribed it. A lot of what's in NTI, I came to understand it long after I wrote it.
Right.
You know, so I was writing it without understanding it. I was, you know, being a good, obedient scribe. But that's why it was so difficult to write NTI, because I didn't always understand what I was writing, or I didn't believe what I was writing.
Right.
And it became very, very hard to write it down and to feel like people were going to say, what the hell is she writing? You know, when I didn't even, in my mind, support it. So since then, of course, as you know, I fully accepted NTI and all that it teaches, but I didn't necessarily as I was writing it.
Right.
And Jasmine would like me to retract the word hell and say H-E double hockey sticks, right?
Thank you.
Now she's happy.
I don't like it, that word.
What I want to do is just let go of the mic for a second. Yes, I see Laura Blue has his hand up. Okay, Laura Blue's question. In this sentence, whose mind is the sentence talking about? It was the thought that the idea of God could become separate and independent of the mind that thought it. Well, you know, Lord Blue, I don't think that that question can truly be answered. I will give it an answer, but I don't think it can truly be answered, because as you know, Lord Blue, once we start answering who thought the thought and who didn't think the thought, we get back into the idea of separation again. So that's what gets really tough about discussing all of this stuff. Maybe the clearest way to say it would be to say it was in our mind. That's you and me, Lord Blue. It was in our mind, and in fact, it is still in our mind. I do not really want to say that it was in the mind of the Son of God and not the mind of God, because when I start saying that, I start dividing and separating, and I don't like that anymore. That's what led to my confusion in the first place was, although A Course in Miracles is a great book and I love it, but the symbols and the way those symbols were used, they of course are the symbols of separation, and it allowed separation to remain in my mind for quite a while, and I was very confused by it. One of the things that was helpful to me in NTI is NTI, although it begins with those symbols of separation, as it moves on, it removes them. And it gets to a point of saying, there's only you. And that's what really helped me to understand better. So I think the best way to answer the question, Lord Blue, is to say it was in our mind and just leave it at that. Okay, good. Any other questions before we go on? Okay, then, why don't we scroll up to Tuesday, September 27th. And it looks like I received a message from Holy Spirit that day, and I named the message, Are You Ready to Let Go? And hold on a second, I got to throw away a yogurt cup. I have to be mom at the same time. Okay, here we go. All right, so Are You Ready to Let Go? Telling Regina you had a question. Oh, I see, Zoe. I'm sorry. I had reginadonacres.com up, and I didn't see that your hand was up. Okay. But fortunately, Christian pointed it out to me. Please, take the mic. Hey, Zoe, did you want to take the mic? Look up. Oh, the question's up somewhere? Okay, look up. I assume you don't mean my ceiling. Okay, let's see. Look up. Can you look back to what I wrote? Okay, keep looking up. Keep looking up. Where's Zoe?
In green somewhere, I guess.
Zoe. Let's see.
Is it about forgiveness, Zoe?
Yeah, Zoe, we're not sure what you're asking. Would you mind just typing it out again? That would be,
yeah, I'll be nice.
Helpful.
Thank you. What are you saying? Yes.
Maybe she's saying yes, she'll type it out again, I think.
Maybe she's saying yes to the forgiveness thing. Forget it.
Okay, let's see. Well, let's see. Christian's trying to put it out here, so let's see if we can get it. Zoe, think it is real until forgiveness is realized. Forgiveness cleans up all the illusion and lets the realness in. The effect influences the world. Yes. Yes. That's what Holy Spirit was teaching me. In fact, in the Bible, there's a great scripture. As a kid, I used to love it. In the Bible, it talks about a time when the lion would lay down with a lamb and a little boy would lead them. A little child would lead them. Yeah, and it's one of my favorite scriptures. And I still see that as a great symbol of the reflection of our one mind when the world is healed. When our mind is healed, I'm sorry, then the world is also healed. So if the world is nothing but the reflection of our mind, which is what we're taught it is. If the world is nothing but an expression of our thought, then as we practice forgiveness and as we let go of thoughts of attack and defense and guilt and unworthiness, then that also must be reflected in the world. And so, yes, as we practice forgiveness on a macro scale, we will see the effects of that in the world. That's what Holy Spirit is teaching me. And so he's teaching me why accepting the atonement for myself is actually a gift for everyone, is really what he's teaching me. He's taking me out of thinking that I'm just doing something for me, which is what I felt before that. And it's kind of interesting because I even sometimes felt very guilty for studying A Course in Miracles and practicing A Course in Miracles because I felt like I was taking time away from other things, taking time away from Jasmine, and it was purely selfish because I was just trying to get inner peace for myself. And so again, what Holy Spirit is teaching me is that is not true, that what I am doing is a gift for everything and everyone, and in fact, it's the greatest gift I can give. It's not truly selfish at all. Okay. All right, then. Let's go back to reginadonacres.com, and I'll try to make sure I keep Regina Dawn Acres up, so hopefully I can see both the questions and the hands as we're moving along. And Laurent will help me, right? Keep my eye on the board.
Of course he says.
He's just sitting back here relaxing. Okay, so again, Tuesday, September 27th, 2005, Holy Spirit gave me a message, which I called, "Are You Ready to Let Go?" I remember this. This is one of those days when my loving Holy Spirit was getting firm with me. He does that sometimes. We need firmness too. We need that tough love. This is like a tough love message in a way. He says, "Are you ready to let go? Is there anything you would do first? Is there anything you would put above your desire for me?" And then he says, "You must desire me above all else, or I am lost to you. To think you want me, but to not be willing to do as I ask will result in great discomfort. It is better for you to realize what you want and stick with that." He's teaching me how to be the happy learner, and he's seen it. If I don't decide to be the happy learner, I'm just going to suffer. So I might as well become the happy learner. He says, "Let go of all personal responsibility for achievement." And I will tell you, at one time, this was a big problem that I had. And the reason I had a big problem is because Regina, you know, pure ego Regina, before any spiritual path at all, Regina was a very responsible person. Yeah, super Regina. I really was. In the world, you could count on me. And trust me, people did. I was a very responsible person, a very trustworthy person. If I said I would get something done, I would. I got it done well. I got it done on time. And that all seemed great in the world. But it actually became a hindrance when I started the spiritual path, when I started practicing surrender, because I had so much trust in myself, in Regina, that there were things I did not want to turn over to Holy Spirit and surrender because I trusted me more. And so this is where Holy Spirit is getting a little tough with me on this. He's letting me know that I need to let go of what always seemed to be my best asset, you know, my sense of responsibility. So he says, "Let go of all personal responsibility for achievement. Let it go from your mind. Observe the flow of my work, which you are within. Do not worry about which way the flow will go. Trust the flow. Stay with what is happening now, and do not think about what will happen next." And this again is where he's very first teaching me. One thing that's really cool about some of the messages we're reading tonight is these are things that I know now, and probably all of you know now. But what we're seeing is the very first time I learned them. So it's kind of historical in that way. And what he's teaching me about for the very first time now is the flow. And he's teaching me that the way I just stay in the flow and allow what seems to be my body to be guided from what to do to what to do to what to do is just to stay in the now, and just to stay with that prompt of what should I do now. And that I don't need to think ahead, I don't need to plan ahead, I don't need my to-do list and all of that stuff. That if I just stay in the now and keep asking, what am I to do now, I will be guided from one thing to another, and everything that is to be done will be done. But this is the first time that he's teaching that to me. So again, I'm going to start that paragraph over. He says, "Let go of all personal responsibility for achievement. Let it go from your mind. Observe the flow of my work, which you are within. Do not worry about which way the flow will go. Trust the flow. Stay with what is happening now, and do not think about what will happen next. You are on a raft in my river. Let the raft go while you enjoy the peacefulness of the ride. Trust in all things. This is what I ask. Everything is unfolding for the benefit of all, for there is no other way. So here, Holy Spirit is really teaching me to surrender by letting go of what I perceive to be my best asset, my sense of responsibility, my ability to get things done, my ability to be in control, actually. Mm-hmm. So again, what I'm going to do is just let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they would like to share. How about you, anything?
No, I'm just listening. I love the flow of my work. It's mm-hmm. great. Mm-hmm. Christian,
okay, Christian, please take the mic.
Hello, Regina. I'm Laurent and Jasmine and Carolyn. Earlier you were guided to share in a very slow voice.
Yes.
And I was battling illusions at the time. And I slowed my mind. I gained control of the egoic perspective, listening to your voice, listening to that voice. And I was guided to make a tape in the same slow voice, a tape healing the attraction to deep pain, another's guilt, and death. And I was very healed. And I want to say thank you, Regina. Thank you.
Yes, Christian is referring to my awakenings teaching this morning. Actually, I was very impressed with the teaching myself because of the way it happened. I was joking afterwards that Holy Spirit totally used me. but he did. He used me to make a point, and I think that he made his point quite well. What happened when the teaching started is that I was observing that I was speaking pretty quickly. Everything that I was saying was correct. They were all right-minded thoughts. But the speaking was pretty quick. And the lesson that Holy Spirit wanted to teach us in that half hour this morning was he wanted to teach us the power or the value of stillness. And when the time came for that lesson to begin to be taught, there was a sentence in the book we were reading from, which was Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, which went very well with the single quiet thoughts that Holy Spirit gave me yesterday and today. So we reviewed that sentence and those two thoughts, and as this happened, my pace shifted, and I went into a very slow talking, even slower than now, where I was naturally saying only like two words and then pausing, and it really had a pretty dramatic effect. There were only a few people in the room, but I think that everybody that was there felt it. And Holy Spirit made the point that the power is not in the words. The power is in the stillness, in the space between the words. So to be honest, it's a teaching that I actually recommend listening to. I thought it was pretty dramatic, actually. So it's located at reginadonacres.com as well. On the Awakenings page, let me see if I can get a link to that real fast. I think I can, and give it to you. And then later, you all can go and listen to it. Let me get you a link. Here's a link. It's dated 7:30:08. Right now, it's the top one on the Awakenings page. That's a direct link to the Awakenings page. And it's a pretty good demonstration of how powerful the stillness is. So that's what Christian is referring to as her experience this morning. Thank you, Christian. No, it doesn't start out slow. It's kind of like It's kind of like Ike and Tina Turner, except the opposite. Remember, they start out slow and then they go real fast. This is the opposite. It goes real fast and it ends slow. So it's the opposite of Ike and Tina Turner.
Talking slow.
Jasmine says I always talk slow, but that's not true.
Not true.
Yeah, it's not true. All right, so what we can do now is go ahead and scroll up in September of 2005, and it looks like I received a prayer. And I will read that prayer in my slow voice. How's that? All right, here is the prayer that Holy Spirit gave me to pray. Beloved Holy Spirit, I seek your healing. I see my mind is split, for I am attached to this world. I believe it is real, and I think my salvation is here. I seek your healing, for I cannot heal myself. I give you my willingness and my trust. I ask that you lead me to do my part, for I know not what that is. I am in your hands. Amen. And actually, if we take this prayer combined with the message that Holy Spirit gave me, let's see, was it the day before? Yep, the 27th. We can see that Holy Spirit is teaching me to be spiritually responsible by not being responsible in the world, by surrendering that sense of responsibility. We can see that this prayer is helping with this. This prayer is, first of all, not at all in denial. This prayer is admitting that I believe in the world, that my mind is split, that I am attached to the world, and that I think my salvation is here. You know, getting things done right, making money, all of that stuff in the world. So it's admitting to what I believe. And then it's asking for help. It's acknowledging that I need help. It's giving my willingness and my trust. And it's asking for guidance. It's admitting that I don't have a clue and that I need guidance. And then it's surrendering. I am in your hands. So it's a great prayer that Holy Spirit gave me, a tool that Holy Spirit gave me to follow up on his request from the day before, that I let go of being responsible Regina, which is actually what people used to call me. Once again, I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share.
Sounds very familiar. I was dependent on Carolyn.
Zoe,
yes, Zoe, please take the mic.
So, hi, how are you? Miss you guys. Anyway, my question is, Regina, how does that project into the projection? I mean, you're still responsible because you show up here when you're supposed to show up. I know you make sure that Jasmine is fed. Explain more about how that works. Okay, thanks.
First of all, I got to tell you that when you said you're still responsible, you show up here when you're supposed to, you make sure Jasmine is fed, Jasmine goes, huh? And she did have to get her own dinner tonight.
Well, I am sorry.
We seem to have nights where we sit down and eat as a family, And we seem to have nights where it's everybody grab your own. And tonight was an everybody grab your own night. So, but yeah, I can talk about that, Zoe. The answer is much more of a mind shift than anything else. When Holy Spirit was asking me to let go of being responsible Regina, he was not at the same time asking me to now become a couch potato. He wasn't doing that. It wasn't about form as much it was about who I saw as responsible. I'll use that for lack of better words right now. Did I see myself as responsible, or did I see Holy Spirit as responsible, and I was just willing to follow prompts? You might say, do I see myself as the leader of getting things done, or do I see myself as a follower in the process of getting things done? And what happened is Holy Spirit is teaching me to really be responsible in a different way, to be responsible by not seeing myself as the leader, as the one who is responsible for getting things done, but seeing myself as the follower. So what that means is the guidance as to what to do comes from something else. And in this case, what we're really talking about is it doesn't come from the thinking, planning mind and some sense of personal responsibility. That's what's being let go of, the thinking, planning mind and some sense of personal responsibility. And when that is let go, there is still a prompting as to what to do. And then, instead of being the responsible leader, I am still the responsible follower, so I follow the prompts. So in a way, I am still responsible, but it's taking myself out of the role of being the one that is personally responsible for getting things done and moving into the follower role. And also, when you move into the follower role, you're a lot more accepting of things as they are because you no longer feel personally responsible. It is funny, Zoe, back when I was responsible, Regina, I would not have had nights where I said to the people in my house, okay, we're not having a family dinner tonight, everyone just grab your own, because out of guilt, I would have felt like I had to prepare that family dinner. The fact that I had other things to do, that I was being guided to do other things, that would not have mattered. I would have killed myself. I would have been super Regina and probably super bitch, too. Oops, I said another bad word. But it's true, and you guys know it's true. Trying to get it all done. And I'm sorry, Jasmine.
Are you the Regina I know you are? People, she never says these things.
I don't. But it was a perfect word to describe what you guys know. Okay, give me a kiss. Let me go back to teaching. Okay?
Yeah. Bad word!
I haven't said the B word in a few years, but it seemed very appropriate. Because that's what I would have been. I would have been driving myself crazy trying to push myself to be responsible and get it all done. I don't feel responsible to get it all done anymore. I only feel responsible to do what I'm feeling guided to do. So it's very easy for me to say, hey, I'm not cooking tonight, guys. You're on your own. Okay, Zoe, please take the mic.
Regina, do you think that because of the personality that, you know, that is you, that you were able to discipline yourself to let go the same way you disciplined yourself to do everything? I'm thinking that that's what question that comes in my mind. And oh, tell Jasmine when I come to visit that she's going to have to wear earplugs. Bye.
I don't know. Okay, now Jasmine wants to know when you're coming to visit. And what she means is she says bad words. So you're going to have to wear earplugs.
I have a music player. You know, I can...
Yeah, she says she has an MP3 player. She can just wear that. And now she's ready for you to come, Zoe, so it looks like you're on your way. But yeah, no, I do think it's funny. Everything is very funny. I do think the fact that my personality was responsible was very helpful to me. Because when Holy Spirit asks me to do something, I am responsible and I do it. And to be honest, not everyone has that same ingrained responsibility. So lots of people will hear Holy Spirit's recommendation and not follow through. And the follow through is critical. And because I am able to follow through, when Holy Spirit says make this decision and I make it, Holy Spirit says do this and I do it, it's very, very helpful. So yeah, it's kind of funny. So again, letting go of a sense of responsibility does not mean becoming a couch potato. It means letting go of that personal sense of responsibility and instead shifting it so that I become more of the responsible follower than the responsible leader. But definitely the sense of responsibility and the sense of self-discipline is still helpful. Right, Elio?
Right.
He's very quiet tonight. He's just sitting here.
I'm listening to your Holy Spirit guides and seeing, by the way... Okay, I'm going to say something.
Okay, yay!
I don't know if you're listening. I mean, I guess all of us are listening with the ears that have us witness what Holy Spirit, the immense job that Holy Spirit has been doing with you. Mm. And that is just great to see. That is amazing. The so-called spiritual ignorant person that you used to be, it's all perfectly planned. You know, like in some past life, you must have, if you believe in past life, whatever, you must have been like a great, I don't know, Kabbalah master, whatever. But no, with what's up in this one, and you know, this is just a symbol, of course, that I'm using, but it is perfectly planned. It's absolutely perfect. When I first joined you, my ego was totally raging at the fact that I couldn't share this and that and that. Now I let go, which is a great opportunity, by the way, to let go of my way and to laugh about these kind of things. And to see that the importance is not there at all. The importance is into really, like, for you now, following guidance.
Yes.
And that's totally amazing. And that you could share the whole thing with everybody, with all of us, and that is just a wonderful gift as a great example for all of us. Now, the trap is to listen to witness that beauty, that wonderful training, that great job that Holy Spirit's been doing with you, or that your higher self, or whatever you want to call it. And to think that, oh, Regina is special. I mean, Regina is very lucky because this is what Holy Spirit's been doing with her. With me, it's not the case. I've been doing this and this and this. Now, that's a trap, because it's great to see that example as what Holy Spirit does anyway with everybody. So in this case, of course, the case of the scribe, the case of NTI, the case of sharing everything, of course, I'm not responsible. You know that, Christian.
You know, Holy Spirit wouldn't put us together if we were the same.
Of course, I'm not. Call me irresponsible.
There we go. He wanted to sing that tonight, and you gave him his excuse.
No, so the idea is to see how much Holy Spirit is doing a perfect job with everybody. Everybody has his own personality, Zoe. He seems to have his own personality. That personality is used by Holy Spirit to the best of its extent. Now, of course, you got certain qualities which you can find in the teacher's manual, which come with trust and honesty and this type of thing. Well, this is, yes, these are very important qualities, but you learn them through your own specialty, through your own specialness. Spirits take us where we are, where we think we are. You know, it's not about cutting the whole thing. But what I really love, I'm really not saying anything except now, because I don't. I'm seeing how just an immense job you're doing. Spirit is doing with you, but then in the idea of Spirit is doing with you, there's a separation between you and Spirit. You follow Spirit, and I just got out from Temecula, and hearing Ken saying about the fact that there's no inner voice, that there's no Holy Spirit. You know, but he's very right. We were talking about this all day, actually. It's helpful until you're 5 years old to believe that there's a Santa Claus, you know, bringing you present. Then after that, you grow up and you realize, okay, well, it's been my parents all the while. In this case, it's helpful to realize that there's a separate God, that there's a separate, and this was your message of earlier, the separate God, a separate Holy Spirit, and separate you, with a personality that is, okay, this is all nice, but at some point, I'm seeing much more of like the job that you did with yourself,
yes.
Really. Even at some level that from here you're not truly aware
of. Not consciously aware. Yes.
But that self, that capital S self, which is the same self she shares with everyone, is doing the same job with Zoe, with Casey, with John, with Sharon, with Wayne, with everyone. It's the same intelligence. It's the same responsibility from that level. Everything is really taken care of in a previous message. in order to define the flow, he said, he or she or you said, you know, trust in the flow of my work. It is great. Something is being done. We are being done, as you like to say often.
I'm being used too.
I'm being used and being done. And it's the flow. The whole flow of all that is the moving, constantly moving towards the awakening of the Son of God. So it is the flow of my work, so-called God says. But and it's true that the separation between the God, you, me, Holy Spirit, little one, big me, little me, at some point is. Has been helpful, but at some point is to be let go of as well. Hmm. You know, but that's all I'm sharing. It's just great. It's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. It was nice to hear you talk.
Thank you.
let's see. It's 9:56. I'm going to just peek real quick. That's the end of September 2005. So the next place that we're going to go is October 2005. I want to just peek at it real quick and see if there's something that I would like to do now. Or if I feel like we should just wait a couple of weeks. So if you guys would just be patient for me. I suppose I could have done this while Laurent was talking, but I was listening to him. It's a big one, yeah. So.
And it is 57 anyway.
So. Yeah, so we should probably not do it. I always thought maybe it would be something short that would be a nice, cute, zippy little end, but it's not. It's pretty big.
Zippy.
So next time we get together, which will be 2 weeks from tonight, we'll start with October 2005, and it looks like the message is called Cause and Causation. So the education of the spiritually ignorant one continues, I think. tell you what, why don't I end with our single quiet thought for the day? Yeah. How does that sound?
Very good.
And for those of you who do not have the single quiet thought, if you want to read along, first of all, this is something that you could just close your eyes and listen to. But if you would like to read along, then what you can do is just go to this link, reginadonacres.com. It's at the very top. For those of you who don't know, about a week ago, I started receiving the single quiet thoughts, and we are posting them every day. And they're great. They're great for carrying around in your back pocket and pulling out several times a day and reviewing. And I think those of us who are using the single quiet thoughts are finding them to be very helpful. And starting tomorrow, right, Laurent going to begin translating the single quiet thoughts into French and posting them on his French website as well.
Great,
so
great.
There we go. We'll have
very useful.
Very useful. All right, yeah, Wayne is using them, and I love that, Wayne. It makes me very happy. All right, so here is today's single quiet thought. And this is from the Holy Spirit, by the way, so when you hear the word I, it's Holy Spirit, or you could call it our true desire, or you could call it our higher self. I am the stillness. And the stillness is one in you. Listen to the stillness, and all that it contains. And you know the magnitude that we are. And that's today's single quiet thought. And as I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit did a great job of demonstrating that his suggestion that we listen to the stillness is not just words, that we take the time to speak slower, think slower, allow space and feel gratitude and be with the space, that actually that is a very beneficial spiritual practice, in fact more beneficial than the words themselves. All right, so that's it. It is 10 o'clock and let's see, Laurent is back tomorrow at 1.
True. True.
I am back on Friday at 2, and Laurent will be with me for the NTI study group. Jasmine is back on Friday at 4, and I will be with her for reading from, what's the name of the book you're reading? the kingdom of
what's self-esteem. It?
The kingdom of self-esteem. Hmm. And then on Saturday night at 8:30, it's the first Saturday night of the month. So Laurent and I will be here from 8:30 to 10:30 as well. And then Laurent again on 7. So it's like you guys will be sick at 7 o'clock on Sunday. So you guys will be sick of us by the end of the week.
Yeah,
and then some of you poor people have to come be with us all weekend next weekend at Be the Love, too.
Yeah,
so
poor people.
Lots and lots of, and I'm looking forward to seeing you all next
great.
Week.
It's
yeah,
great.
It's going to be great. I'm really getting excited now that it's getting close. Okay, we're out of here. Bye.
Bye.